All right. As I've mentioned earlier, part of this conference is a Q&A session, one this morning and later in the afternoon. So you still have time to send in those questions by using the QR code. I'd like to request the panelists to please come on up. Pastor Allen, Dr. Sam, Chris Monforte also will be joining us. Thanks, Dr. Sam and Pastor Allen, for those two sessions. I would like to thank Pastor Jason Marukon for sorting those questions that you're sending in. Let me start off with this one. First question is, how do I explain to a non-Christian the coexistence of the holiness and sovereignty of God and the existence of sin and evil?
Clarify the question in a way that I can understand it and then answer it. So I think what I'm hearing in this question is something like, do you think it would be something like, how could a holy God allow for evil to occur in this world?
So you preach about the holiness of God, but how does evil and at the same time holiness exist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how does a God who's holy and has created the cosmos, how can he tolerate evil?
And
I think that's a great sort of way of approaching the subject of the gospel, because he can't tolerate it forever. Yeah. And that is the dilemma that the gospel is the solution to. Romans 3, 23 and following is a great place to kind of illustrate this. Up until, the halfway point in Romans 3, Paul has been arguing for the incommensurability of God's holiness and sinfulness. And Romans 3 resolves that dilemma. So the dilemma is, how can God be the just and the justifier of those who have faith in Christ Jesus? And what he tells us in Romans 3 is God does not ignore sin, but he in these last days propitiates sin in Christ Jesus. So then the option is, you can either receive the wrath of God for eternity, God can either pour out his wrath, his holy wrath on your sin directly for eternity, or he can pour out his eternal wrath on your sin in Christ, and you can die in Christ and be raised in Christ. But I think the answer is, God cannot tolerate sin forever. And this basically what we're experiencing is his kindness, which is intended to lead to repentance. Anything you guys would add
Thank
to
you,
that?
Sam. Chris, would you like to say something?
That's a tough one. I mean, to add to Dr. Sam, it goes always to the cross, to the gospel. Because as we see evil, right? It's demonic, It's scary. It scares us. But thing is, if we look at the cross, in God's wrath, He poured out His wrath into His Son. And he atoned. Christ atoned for our sins. It makes sense. Because of that, as he said in Ephesians 3, the manifold wisdom of God will be revealed to the church. Like, once we are there, we will see His glory. We cannot even barely look at His glory. And it only makes sense on the cross, remembering the gospel.
So the next question is, why is it important for us to understand God's holiness? Is it possible for us to understand God's holiness wrongly? And how can we know God's holiness rightly? So is it important for us to understand God's holiness? I think during Dr. Sam's message, we already explained that, but maybe the person who asked the question would like to understand it in a pastoral way, a practical way.
Yeah, I think that's very important. Of course, we need to know the holiness of God. We it is necessary for us to know the holiness of God. Bakit? Can I speak English?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bakit? Kasi we will not look at ourselves as dirty and miserable and sinful beings if we don't see the holiness of God.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only way na marirealize natin we are evil because we see the beauty and the holiness of God. Kaya napaka-importante.
Yeah. I think the mention ni Dr. Sam kanina, for you to appreciate yung joy and the beauty ng forgiveness is for you to see yung sin, yung weight ng sinfulness. If you'd like to add something on that, Chris? It's already on.
Yeah, it's on. So, Tagalog ako. Actually, it was Luther, reminiscing yung holiness ni God when he had that encounter, when the lightning struck on him, and he was so afraid, and manibid niyang inaalala yun. Ano? Kaya ganun yung pag-ano niya sa kanyang sin. You know? Kasi, because God is holy. But the thing is, when he was reading through Romans, he saw the beauty of the gospel. The hope that is in Christ. Yeah. So the thing is, I could quote one writer who wrote the When Sinners Say I Do. You know? Yeah, sin is painful. But Jesus is sweeter.
Also, I think we need to be careful wrestling with these things. We need to wrestle with them, okay? But we need to be careful as we wrestle. For example, merong instance sa Bible, Nadab and Abihu, if you're familiar with the story, di ba? They were punished by God. They were eaten by the lion. And sometimes we sympathize, we over-sympathize, like, why did God punish them? Isn't he merciful?
Yeah.
Why didn't he just forgive them?
Yeah.
We want to be careful. Why? Because in that sphere, there's a very thin line of siding with sin. Right? We're saying, how can you do that, God? If you're merciful and loving, how can you punish them? Shouldn't you just forgive them? We need, want to be careful because we are overly sympathizing doon sa sinner. Right? Well, where God, whom God punished. And we want to be careful in wrestling with that. Yes, we should wrestle, but ultimately our hope should be, God, I don't understand everything, but I trust you. I trust your providence. I trust your sovereignty. I trust your goodness. And I trust your wisdom. And I am just a lowly creature. You know all things. All things work for good for those who love you.
Thank you, Pastor Allen. The last question I think is directed towards you because speaks doon sa talk mo kanina. So as mentioned, the work of a pastor is not an easy one as it can be stressful and mentally exhausting. So the question is, what can we do as members for you? As for you, bilang member sa pastor, so she is concerned kung ano yung pwede niyang gawin. What we can do as members for you, and what do you expect from us bilang mga members, sabi niya. Second part of the question is, as pastors, what are your practical ways to fight depression or discouragement that you regularly face?
Oh, that's a great question. So members, huwag kayong pasaway. Yun lang yun. I think napakarami. One, like yung mga binanggit ko kanina, especially sa culture natin mga Pilipino, we have so many expectations sa pastor.
Yeah.
Like 100 expectations. Yeah. Whereas the Bible only zooms in a very few, but big expectations and responsibility, right? Like ministry of the word and prayer. Of course, that extends, may mga layer yun. However, kung sira yung AC, halimbawa, huwag nyo na-expect si pastor pa yung mag-aayos yung AC. Do it! Right? I think yung mga practical. So, we want to be setting our expectations biblically, not culturally. Okay, we're so good in setting expectations culturally. Dapat si pastor ganito, dapat si pastor ganyan, ganito, ganito. No. Set your expectations biblically. So read your Bible. Ano ba expectations sa mga pastor? And that's what you should expect sa pastor nyo. Pray. How many of us pray for our pastors? Even nung hindi pa ako pastor, this is something that I'm guilty of. Hindi ko masyado napapag-pray yung mga pastor. Right? It's very easy to forget that and neglect that unintentionally. And kumustahin niyo rin kami.
Yeah.
Right? Ask us questions. Ask us hard questions. We're not God. Don't treat us as God. We are fellow, we're fellow Christians, fellow members of the church, the household of God. Ask us hard questions. We also struggle like you do. Ano yung mga struggle namin? Ano yung mga pinagpe-pray namin? Ask us. So yeah. be very open. We will be open. And of course, sa mga pastor, you need to open your lives as well. You need to be, I think, I'm not going to speak more of that. I'm sure Pastor Abby will talk of that.
Yeah.
And ano yung second part, which is?
Second part is, I think yung practical ways, yung, I think that's a good one.
Oh, like depression? So, yeah.
Particularly
yeah.
Is the depression. So, okay. As pastors, what are your practical ways to fight depression or
sure.
discouragement that you regularly face?
Yeah, so I've not been a pastor for long, but I am a pastor at Redeemer. It's a multi-ethnic church. So imagine yun na lang yung hirap no ng mga ibang pasabay. Joke lang. But it is hard. It could be depressing. It is disappointing when people choose sin over the word of God. And when people side with evil rather than good. It is hard. But here's what I learned. I remember clearly on my bed, I was just praying and sabi ko, Lord, parami ng burden na to. How can I survive this? And then through prayer, I realized I am not the burden carrier. My job is to pass that burden to Sam. No, not to Sam. To pass that burden to the feet of Christ. That's not my job. I'm not Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. So I pass those burdens to Him. Cry out to Him. Plead on our members' behalf, and in that way, love them well. Right? Because kung yung mga members will just go to me and share the burden, I'm gonna die early. Dumadami na nga yung puting buhok ko eh, sabi ni Pastor Alvin eh. But that's our job. I think we need to remember that we're not Jesus.
Yes,
only sir. Jesus is Jesus.
Yeah. Sorry, Dr. Sam.
Yeah, that's a great way to end that. I'll just say, so I was a pastor for 5 years before coming here. To the UAE, and just a reminder, I mean, your pastors who experience depression are humans that experience depression. So the things that pastors need to battle depression are the things that everybody needs to battle depression. So maybe one way to say it is probably the things that you want to do the least are the things that you probably need to do when you're depressed. What you want to do when you're depressed is lock yourself in a room, cut yourself out from all people, binge watch some stupid show on Netflix, turn your brain off, scroll mindlessly on social
right.
media, and eat terrible food that's bad for you, that kind of thing. What you probably need to do is eat something healthy, go outside, get some sun, go on a walk, communicate with other people, spend time with other people. People who aren't going to demand things of you, just to spend time with you. All the things that you don't want to do when you're depressed, those are the things that you probably need. For the first thing, I would just say, in addition to the things that Alan said about praying for your pastor, and asking questions of your pastor, don't treat your pastor like Jesus. I agree with all of those things. I'll just say also. Don't assume that flattery is an encouragement. And so what that means is when they preach, don't just... I think I commend the motivation to want to encourage your pastor. Just a piece of advice is be specific about the encouragement. So if you're encouraged by a sermon, don't just say, great work, pastor. Be very specific. Say, pastor, I loved the point that you made when you connected this verse to this verse. That was really illuminating. Or I was really convicted when you brought this application point. I'm going to actually put that into practice. And then the last thing I'll just say is, in Romans chapter 15, Paul does something really interesting. He says in verse 14, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written for you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And what's interesting about that passage is Paul uses the imagery of priestly service in a totally unique way. Paul loves to talk about priestly service, but he's always, with this passage in exception, he's always talking about the priestly service of Christ. But here he's referring to the pastoral office as a priestly service. And the sacrifice, so it's not an atoning for sin kind of sacrifice. The sacrifice that he's talking about, it's not the work of the Gentiles that he's ministering to. It's the Gentiles themselves. So you think about it as a, it's a thanksgiving sacrifice that he's offering to God, and the sacrifice that he's presenting to God are the people that he's ministering to. And basically what he's doing is, so think about it as him going before God and saying, God, you have entrusted these people to me, and look, here they are. They're my pride and joy. Here's all the ways that they're growing. Here's all that they're instructing one another. They're one anothering. They're obeying these, you know, biblical passages. They're putting sin to death. They're confessing of their sins. They're slowly progressing on in godliness. They're working towards evangelism. They're working towards being more faithful husbands and more devoted wives and, you know, all of these things. Here they are, God. They're my pride and my joy. So that's the thing that Paul is reveling in. He's reveling in the opportunity to take the faith and the people that he's ministering to and presenting them to God. So I would just say, to be an encouragement to your pastors is to be a faithful church member and a faithful Christian. To actually not just listen to the sermon and give comments about the sermons, but take the sermons and apply it into your life. Nothing is going to make your pastors happier than the evidence that they're actually progressing in the Christian life.
That's helpful. Thank you. Maraming salamat. Please, palakpakan po natin ang ating panelists for tonight.